Motzoi Shabbos, December 22nd, 2007, Passaic Torah Institute, Rabbi Shlomo Singer Shlita, Rosh Yeshiva, Lessons to Live By Shir, given by Rabbi Avraham Shulman on Parshas Vayechi.
Kedavach. Welcome to the Shir. Tonight we're going to try to cover an Indian topic in Halacha. We'll do our stuff a little bit behind it also. Motzoi Shabbos, Parshas Vayechi. And we'll do a little bit more inside the Gemara of a particular, very important mitzvah. Normally, a person grows up hearing the well-known, I guess it's a saying, sticks and stones may break my bones, but names will never harm me. So, you know, that's what your mother tells you to make sure that the schoolyard bully has some kind of saving grace after you're all bloody, that you could still have some saving pride and say, well, you know, at least I have my pride, the names didn't hurt. But the truth is probably, even when you were a kid, you found out that the names really bothered you as well, especially if they said it over and over many, many times. And as you get older, you realize that verbal abuse and words are very, very powerful and very harmful. And we see in the parasha today an amazing thing about Yosef HaTzadik. Yosef HaTzadik had certainly had the opportunity to say something very harsh to his brothers, yet he refrained from doing so. And it all began last week in Parshas Vayechi. In Parshas Vayechi, when Yosef finally reveals himself to the brothers, the Torah tells us, Yochel Esafik, that he couldn't hold back anymore, so we would have thought it was a perfect opportunity for Yosef to say something to the brothers, to say, listen, all these years you sent me down here, and for all you know, I could have been dead, and you put me in a pit, and you sold me away. How are you to know what happened to me? It was certainly something that I didn't deserve, and it was a very harsh thing to do to one's own blood brother, but we saw that that wasn't the case. Yosef said to him, it's amazing. I think we've spoken about this in previous year, that Yosef has the appellation, it's called Yosef HaTzadik. Why of all the people say they're graciously called tzaddiks? I think the gather by Yosef of Tzaddik is that he refrains, he holds back from doing something which is almost the superhuman will to hold back from. A person has such a strong taiva, such a strong desire to do something, yet he refrains, he holds back. So the first example of that was by the Ashes Potiphar, where she seduces Yosef and she asks him to be with him, and over and over and over, but yet Yosef refuses. Then again, in Parshas Vayigash, in Parshas Vayechi, the Torah tells us that Yosef, he couldn't hold back anymore. He reveals himself to the brothers, but listen to these words that Yosef said. This is the first time in Vayigash, where he tells them, it's Terek Nem Hei Posake, Vayata Al Te Otsu Vayicha Reinesem. Don't be sad, don't be angry, Ki Mechart Nos Yehina. You shouldn't feel bad. He's worried about their feelings. Right now, they should be, you know, quivering. Oh, this is Yosef. Well, what are we going to say to him? And so it says they were so afraid they wouldn't come to him. But he's concerned about them. And he says, why? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent me down here to sustain you. And the Torah continues and tells us that there's a famine, and this way you'll be able to survive the years of drought. Who sent me here to be able to provide for you. So you don't worry, because whatever happened here, Kadosh Baruch Hu sent me, and this is all for the good. Okay, so we could have thought to ourselves, that was very nice, when Yosef, at that point in Vayigash, the story wasn't complete yet, because we know in the Chalomos, in the dreams, he needed Yaakov Avinu to come down, and he wanted that the family should all come together with Mitzrayim. Okay, so at that point, Yosef says to them, don't worry, Kadosh Baruch Hu sent me down here, and you shouldn't feel bad. An amazing thing. Someone does an extremely harmful thing to you, you know, selling you into slavery, throwing you into a pit, right? The Gemara, famous Gemara in Shabbos, the Mechanic Gemara says that there was no water in it, but the Chashram, the Akravim, there were snakes and scorpions in this pit. He couldn't get out. How do you know how deep it was? The Gemara says it was at least 20 hours deep. Right? So, if all they know, he could have been left for dead, and therefore, Yosef certainly had what to say to them. Doesn't. Now we come to today's Krisa Torah Parshas Vayechi. So, after Yaakov Avinu has died, so the brothers are certainly very nervous. And the Torah records this. The Torah tells us here that they say, Luis the maiden was very afraid that maybe Yosef now is going to come and do something to us. Maybe Yosef, now that Yaakov Avinu is gone, Yaakov Avinu has died, so maybe Yosef is going to be very upset, and he's going to come to us, and he's going to try to, you know, the Torah says, the Hashiv Yashiv one of his kol Hashigamano, so he'll return to us the bad that we've done to him. Certainly that's, you know, fair game. I mean, we did something terrible to him, now maybe he'll come back. He was waiting until Yaakov was gone, when he was alive, so Yosef and Asur caused my father enough pain this whole time, he didn't have me, I shouldn't do it to him. And now Yaakov's gone, maybe he'll do something. So we know the Torah says, what? They make up a little story, which we discussed in also a previous year, that for the sake of Shalom, that they were Mashana, they changed it, that was okay. The Gemara says this was a proper thing to do.
That was Mutter, you said.
It was Mutter. The Gemara in Yuvam says that Mashana and Shalom is one of three examples of Gemara sites over there. By Avraham Avinu he changed, and by Shmuel HaNavi, and over here also, the brothers were okay to do this. So they told Yosef the story, listen, Yaakov Avinu gave us a tzivoy that you should not be angry at us, and okay, what's Yosef's reaction? He says, don't worry about anything. It's okay. Listen to this. Al tiroki asachas al kimani, my in place of the Kosh Baruch, that I should do something to you. Here are the words. Pasuch chaf perikman pasuch chaf. V'atem chashavtem alai ra. You thought you were going to do something bad to me. Elokim chashav l'tova. That the Kosh Baruch Hu thought it for the good. In order that we should be able to survive this famine. So over here, is Yosef saying something? Is he giving him a little shemet, some hint of saying, you did something wrong to me? Maybe he's finally saying. So listen to the amazing, amazing pshat of the Sfarna here. What was Yosef decided to tell them? He says to them, don't feel bad at all. Why? Says the Sfarno, Atem chashavtem ra, you thought bad? It was a shogeg. You thought, what does chashavtem ra mean? You thought I was a bad person. We know, the Torah tells us that he was telling them that they committed all kinds of averus chamuros, Gilia Rayo, Sefer Menachai, he was endangering the unity of Klal Yisrael, of what's going to be the future Shvatim of Klal Yisrael. So Atem Chashav Le'ra, says the Sfarno, you thought I was a rogue, that there was something about me that was dangerous to the entire Klal, and therefore you had to do something to me. So Atem Chashav Le'ra, you thought I was a bad person, it was the Shogeg. The Kadosh Baruch Hu Shem HaMetov, the Kadosh Baruch Hu knew, he took care of the whole situation. So even here we see from Yosef HaTzadik, in this final example where he could have said something to them, he still forgives them, does not say a word. Now everyone learns it this way. There's Surim Pshatim, there's a well-known Beis HaLevi, that Yosef was giving him some tochacha. Rabbein Bechai in this parsha says Yosef was somewhat angry at them. But nevertheless, clearly, with Chol HaDeos, there's no open rebuke. Yosef, whereas he could have, was concerned about their feelings. He's worried. How are they going to feel? I should say something to them. Don't worry. I'm not in place of Kosh Baruch. You shouldn't feel bad. So
there was never any bechila either.
Right? There's no bechila already. The rest. We're going to be trying to discuss that. It was mentioned in the shiur today. Okay. Now, I wanted to discuss based on this the power of words and a very important mitzvah. I'm going to introduce right now. The following, what I'm going to say right now, I say it with a certain amount of sadness. But I think if you would choose one particular law, a particular aveira that is unfortunately the mitzvah in the Torah that is the most trampled upon by Shomer Torah mitzvos is the mitzvah lo sase of onas dvarim, of verbal abuse. If you think about it, so someone with Shomer Torah mitzvos would never eat tamir shtreif. Not would they never eat tamir shtreif. They would go ahead and take upon themselves all kinds of chumras upon chumra. What we do today, on top of the Dinim Darabanan, we have Zeris Darabanan, and on top of the Zeris Darabanan, how we're so careful, I'm only in this institution, at this person's house, and even things that may not apply. And chutzlaris I'm going to keep upon myself, and I won't even eat pas palter. So, they're very good things. We should all keep them if we can. So, we're Zahir in all these mitzvahs, but there's a mitzvah which we're going to learn about tonight, of saying something that's harmful to somebody else, which unfortunately is something that we might violate that mitzvah d'oraisa many, many times a day. So I think it's incumbent upon us to do something about it. Now why is it that this mitzvah is unfortunately something that we're not so Zahir in? So number one, because of the frequency of opportunities that we have to keep this mitzvah. Every minute of the day I'm talking to my colleague, my friend, my spouse, my child. So So I have to speak in a proper way. That's something that I do hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of times a day. Number two, it's extremely difficult. Maybe there are certain people who are born with a very gentle way of speaking, who are so soft and so patient. I don't think I was born that way, unfortunately, and most of us are not. We'd love to be, but it's a hard thing. To be able to always speak in a fashion that's sensitive, that the other person will feel good about, that's a difficult thing. The third reason is probably ignorance. People are not knowledgeable about what it means to keep this mitzvah, the mitzvah of an Anas Dvarim. So the first two I can't change, unless you're going to take the time to dibur the whole year, which is a funny story, where Yisrael Salanter, people would take time to dibur during Chodesh El. They wouldn't talk. You know, they try to do tribulation and talk Lashon Hara. So Yisrael Salanter, he was not such a fan of these things, because what happens, someone comes up to you, and they say, good morning, how are you? And you go, So he would say, because of my sin, because he has to suffer, meaning when you're not going to speak to others, they don't feel so good when you don't answer them back and you ignore them. So to not speak usually is not really the way to go. In order to have proper midos, in order to have proper brios, you have to interact and speak properly. So we can't change the frequency, and we can't change how difficult it is to control the way that we talk, but we can certainly change our ideas and our knowledge about this. So we'll try to, a little bit tonight, explore this particular mitzvah or not far. Okay, so the marker in the Torah, this mitzvah is in Parshas Bahar. In Parshas Bahar, the Torah is discussing over there the inyan of Onas Mamon. Torah tells us that if you're going to make a sale, Perchafei Posikidah, the Chisim Kumimkrala Misecha, Konam Yad Misecha, if you are selling something or something that changes from hand to hand, it means that it applies to both movable objects called Metalplin and Karka. So I'll tell you, Shetachiv, you cannot oppress your fellow man. What does that mean? It means, in simple English, I can't overcharge for something. If the going market rate for a certain product is $100, it's a deraisa for me to charge $150 for that product. The attitude of a Jewish person cannot be, let me try to squeeze as much as I can out of the person. You make your profit, whatever the reasonable profit is, a little more than the profit, you're a really good businessman, but there is a limit to what's considered proper business practice and what's considered to get the onah. So that's onah's mama. That's for a separate issue. The Torah continues and explains here. The context here was, of course, in Parshas Bahar, Shemitah. So what's going to happen in Shemitah, or in Yovel, whatever it may be. So someone in Yovel, you know, the Avodim will go free. So I'm going to sell this Eved for a high price. And meanwhile, there's only 6 months left of Yovel. He's going to go free. And then I get the guy back, so I'm ripping the person off. So the Torah tells us, according to the amount of years that are left, you should sell either the field or the Eved for whatever particular commerce is taking place at that time. And then the Torah says, a few psukim later, Pasuk Kedayim, you should not oppress your fellow man. And you should have years Hashem, because I am Hashem. So why is it so repeating itself? So Chazal tells us, Rashi says on the spot, this is onas dvarim. It's referring to verbal abuse, harming somebody with words. So what's the definition of this mitzvah? The definition of the mitzvah is it's a mitzvah of lo saseh diraisa. This is counted by the Rambam, by the Chinuch. It's Rambam mitzvah lo saseh reish lan aleph. It's a mitzvah in the Chinuch, mitzvah shin lamed ches. According to everybody, this is a negative commandment of the Torah to speak in a fashion that causes pain or harm to a fellow Jew, whether it's a man, woman, or child. We'll discuss that in a moment. Or under this category is also embarrassing somebody, and this is where the famous Gemara is, about somebody who is malbin tnei chaveru, someone who causes embarrassment to another person. This is the Isra D'Araisa of Onas Dvarim.
Is under the umbrella of Lashon Hara, or is there...
Thank you for asking. Very important question. Thank you for asking, because we must say this. So it is not under the umbrella of Lashon Hara. This is very important. Lashon Hara, that means speaking disparagingly about somebody, true words. So that's one avera, and that has gotten a lot of, a lot of press about that, thanks to the Chafetz Chaim, certainly, and to what's happened in contemporary times as well, but a lot of programs about it, that we shouldn't speak disparagingly about others. And there are many different halachas for that, Lashon Hara, Rechilas, and it's not true, Motzi Shema. This is, even on top of that, a person can be Zoyim into Lashon Hara, never speak harshly about somebody, on us of our means, that I'm speaking to you, saying harmful words. Now, certainly the two can Kinkur's cross and can be, you know, unfortunately concurrently occurring. A person, the Chafetz Chaim writes in his psicha to say to Chafetz Chaim, how many lavim a person can violate when it comes to negative speech. He has Yud Zayin, I think 17 different lavim, and in the footnotes there he shows that he can be more than 17 lavim, and there's klalos, and there's all the mitzvahs I say someone violates. So this is even on top of the Isser Lashon Hara, the Isser Nas Dvarim. Very important, thank you for mentioning it. Okay. Now, let's just try to understand a little bit behind the mitzvah for a second, and then we'll go through a very, very important gemara. So certainly, the shoresh behind this mitzvah, the chinuch writes, is the idea of shalom. That shalom is one of the amudei olam, one of the most important things we can have in the world, and if people will speak harshly one to the other, that's certainly the greatest impediment there is to shalom. If I'm going to speak to you, and I talk to you, and I yell at you, I say something that hurts your feelings, and I speak to you harshly, so that's machlokas. And machlokas is not going to lead to the picture of the world that we want. Now, we're going to see in the Gemara that the Gemara treats Onas Dvarim in a very, very severe fashion, more than even Onas Mamot. And we'll see the Gemara says why. But I'd like to start with a little bit of an understanding why it's treated in such a severe fashion. Maharal, yeah.
I believe we have an Anvera, which is totally in something which doesn't have a shear to it. Because I'm in Gila, we say, like, with that Kavadal and Megillah comes up, but like I know it's environment, everyone has a different level of what they consider a nonsense, like pain to themselves. To one person, you can talk to them loud and it's very aggressive.
Right, it's a fascinating question. So the question would be like this, what you're asking. Let's say, Reuven seems very sensitive, right? So I could say even the slightest thing to Reuven and he gets very upset about it. I say to Reuven, oh, you mind not sitting here? He's all upset. Yeah, people like that. So it could be, right? Could be. And then Shimon, I could even say to Shimon, joke around with the person, because sometimes joking around is the ghetto on our dvarim. You say to somebody, yeah, you know, it's so funny, your tie is really, that's from the 70s, you look ridiculous, and we're all laughing. But it's on our dvarim, because he's not really appreciating. He went and he paid $25 for it, and he thought it looked good, and now he's going home, so he doesn't feel so good about it. But Shimon, he didn't care about that. He's like, yeah, we're all friends, this and that. So definitely the mitzvah is in a certain sense no sin l'shiurim, but I would say the following thing. It's up to you, it's up to the individual to be meshayer, to evaluate as much as you can. We're not, you know, Torah lo nit l'malchei sharis. You know, as much as I can, what affects my fellow man? Beno machavero, how can I speak in a fashion that's going to be more than a brios? This is so many missions and others tell us that. So, yeah, it's up to us to figure that out. And yeah, it's not the same for every human being. It's not the same, but you know, mitzvah binom lachaver, that's what it requires. You know, each person is going to have maybe a different gather. Could be sometimes I can do something objectively and, you know, maybe I'll be to get an honest, to get a show gig. If the person is so sensitive, it's not another on me. You know, I spoke to you in a way that's reasonable for 99% of the people. You found it insulting, so maybe I'm to get an honest in that case. But yeah, that is the mitzvah. Yeah, that's our job. Our job is to care enough about other people that when I speak, I'm certain it doesn't harm them. We'll see more detail. So I wanted to share with you briefly an amazing Maharal in the Sivas Olam. Maharal wants to know, why is the Torah considers this mitzvah something that is so harsh? We'll see in the Gemara shortly in detail that HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself sends out the punishment for this mitzvah, that it's one of the mitzvahs that it's not legally shavon, it's even worse than Onos Mamon. Onos Mamon, that's a bit, but Onos Dvarim is even worse. Maharal says like this. A person goes ahead and they injure another human being physically, okay? They're upset at them, and they injure their property, whatever it may be. Shogig, amazing, whatever the case is. If I hurt your goof, if I break your chefet, your object, that's something that pertains to you, but it's not inherently the human being, right? We know our goof is not really who we are. A person, chas v'shalom, can even lose an eider, but it's still who here you are. That's your human being without this particular eider. My home, my property, my car, that's something that's accidental to who I am. But when you hurt somebody, they're inside, you hurt their neshama, their nefesh, that's the true essence of who they are. You're hurting them on a deeper level. Then the morale says even deeper. He says, and where does that neshama, where does that nefesh come from? From the Kodesh Baruch Hu. So when a person violates the ish of Anas Dvarim, in a certain sense, it's an attack on our bonus role. It's an attack on a selam elokim within each person. You're taking the chelag olkami mal, you're taking the godliness within the person, and you're damaging it. So that's why the Torah views it in such a harsh fashion. So this gives a perspective on what the mitzvah is. Okay. Let's now try to look at this Gemara This is the sugya in Bav Mesiyah Milim Chesma Beis in Perek Hazav of the Isser of Anas Devar. Okay, so everyone has a sheet, and we'll read a little bit from the Gemara together. Okay, the second page. Okay, so just the second page. I'll get that. You're moving on. Okay, here's a bunch of copies. Okay. So the Mishnah, you look at the Mishnah right there, about 15 lines down, the Mishnah says, Kishem Sha'anova, Mekachu Memkar, Kacha Anova Dvar. Just like we know that there's an Issa Anova, Mekachu Memkar, business, Kacha Anova Dvar. There's also non-words. Now we're going to go to the Gemara right now. The Gemara is going to repeat for us the Mishnah as well. So go to the Gemara where it says, Ha'ketad, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, it's 8 lines down. Ha'ketad, what's the definition of Anova Dvar? We didn't give a real getter right now. Alex asked before, you know, what is it? Let's see some examples. Im hoya bal tshuva, al yomar lo zchor matzeh achar ishonim. Someone's a bal tshuva, you shouldn't say to them, I remember the old days, you know what you used to do. So that's something you shouldn't say to somebody. Now, I have a big shayla on this. This is a difficult mitzvah. So certainly, just out of the blue to say to somebody who now, you know, shomer Torah mitzvah is 100%, and just make them feel bad, so that's what the Gemara means. The Gemara means don't remind somebody of the past that he's doing a favor. You have sometimes, though, someone who is well-known about tshuva, they write about it, they speak about it, or they share this with other people, and it's known information. So then, it could be that it's not as easy to figure out. Meaning, there are people who are well-known people, Rabbanim, who give shirim, but they speak about themselves about tshuva. So I don't think it means to tell somebody, oh, this person is about tshuva, if it's a known thing, it's a public knowledge, and they're not embarrassed about it. What the Gemara means here is that, again, you're being mitzayer somebody. You're telling them in a bad way. He doesn't want to remember it. He's not trying to share the information with you, but you're making them feel bad. The person worked on themselves. They gave up so much. They're mostly nefesh to change their whole lifestyle. And then you go ahead and say to them, hey, I remember when you used to do all these affairs. You're really not such a tzaddik. That's what the Gemara means. But to speak to somebody, again, unless it's a secret that they don't want revealed, which could be the case, you don't need everybody to know. But if it's in the gather of hurting them, of trying to make them feel good, that's what the Gemara means. Zechor ma'asech rishonim, that's what it's talking about. But someone who's, it's a public knowledge, they're about shuv, I think you're allowed to say such a thing. That's the next case. Himhaya ben geirim al yomalo, zechor ma'asech avosecha. If someone is a convert to Judaism, she shouldn't say, remember what your fathers did, what your ancestors did. So this is very harsh. So Ger comes, he comes to learn. So now the person's in Yisrael. See, Al Yomer shouldn't say to them, Al Yomer lo pesh achon avelos trefos shkotan ramasin bolom al Torah. Shinemar pi agrura. You shouldn't say to them, you're coming to learn Abbas Medrash. You ate trefos, you ate cheeseburgers, you ate chaser, and now the same now if you want to learn Torah. That's an Yisrael. Yisrael, you're right, so no, it's fine. It's interesting, the Gemara doesn't say it here, but that, by the way, it's two Yisrael. There's another Yisrael of oppressing the Ger, when it's Ger. And the Torah says many times, Ger, when you use American Simon, you can't do that. So even more careful about that. Ger Yasam Valmona. So you can't do that. That'd be a very, very harsh thing to say. So all these were examples of someone who we're painting them by recalling something difficult in their life. That's one category. Now watch this. This is a little more subtle. Okay? You know, sometimes people aren't so sensitive to someone else's desire. So someone else having a rough time, and you say to them, well, you know why that happens. Yeah, I would say, but that's what Gemara says. So you think, you know, maybe you're very wise, you're giving them some advice. So not Dvarim. Here's the case. You have difficult things that are happening to you. If a person has low lino illness, low lino person has a child that passes away, you shouldn't say what Eo's friend said to him. So you know, when Eo, he had everything terrible happen to him. Family died, he lost all his money, he got sick. So what did Eliphaz say to him? So he said to him, you should remember who is clean of sin and who is a fool. And the one who's clean, they don't have anything bad happen to them. But the one who has done an aveira, so that's why these things are happening to you. So that's the last thing he needed to hear right now. He didn't need to hear from his friend, you know why you're having all these terrible things happen to you? If you were a tzaddik, nothing would have happened. So you think, like, it's a little muster. It's an honest bar. First of all, how do you know if the person's tzaddik or Russia? And second of all, you're telling the person, you're a Russia. That's why terrible things are happening to you. It's an honest bar. It's a very, very harmful thing. I'll see another case. Now, there's a third type of a case. This case is, I'm not harming the person, I'm not telling them something that's insulting, and I'm not judging their character, which was the second case of being insensitive to their plight, to their pain. Here what I'm doing is, I'm giving them a hard time, which is something we do often. And this way, it might have even been a practical joke, or just out of nastiness. What's the case? So you see this fellow, he's a donkey driver, and he needs some wheat. So what do you do? So, yeah, people do this. So you think it's funny. See, Tamar, go down the road. That's where you can find hay. Now, you know, down the road, with the local, you know, something the opposite of where they sell hay. That's where the auto mechanic. So here this guy comes, he's looking for hay, whatever it may be, in terms of the Gemara. So down the road is a place where they have the blacksmith, the jeweler, the person selling the watches. Let me think of it. So here's the fellow. He comes with a donkey. Here's the guy. He's got a shop full of selling all his trinkets, and he says, I need some hay. Hey, you see any hay here? Does this look like hay? She says, don't go and tell. Go to Yanko, because he is someone who will sell you some tzvua, some wheat, some hay, and he never sold it any time. So, did I hurt your feelings? No. Was I insensitive to your plight? No. But it's on Nazvarim, I oppressed you with words, because I told you something that was giving you a hard time. In this case, by the way, it could even be Hefsek Mamon. Because you have to realize, let's say at 2 o'clock he's going to pick up a package and he needs to feed the donkeys and he has to get to 2 o'clock. Or in modern terms, right, he's a delivery person, he needs a gas station. So again, a very nasty thing to do. So the guy's he's running out of gas. He someone goes down there, make a left, there's a gas station. He's driving out to a gas station for miles. So now he loses, he's out of gas, he misses his appointment, he misses the delivery, right? It could be a hefted moment also in this case. But certainly the act itself is on our devar. These are three different categories of an Azvar. There's going to be a third one now. A fourth one. A fourth one's going to be, I mislead you in terms of thinking that I'm going to purchase something for you. You have to be very careful with this.
Isn't that third case
of the Bnei Iver? The Bnei Iver is going to get an Aveir. Yes, I was going to say that also. But listening Iver, the Parshat Shadow listening Iver is just an Eitzah Ra.
Yeah.
So a lot of the Mepharshim say, that if I give you a bad Eitzah, it's also part of an Azvar. It's a good question, would giving someone an improper Eitzah, bad advice, be Litma Iver and an Azvar? Maybe it's both, because you see in the Chronomy, when they discuss an Azvar, they call it Eitzah Ra also. Rashi even says in the Chumash, it's Eitzah Ra. You give someone bad advice. Now the fourth one is like this. Sometimes people do this all the time. Now, in modern times, it happens to be that there are stores that know that you do this. It's called comparison shopping, window shopping. So, in certain sense, it's mutter. You have to be careful when you're doing that. If I come into your store, and I just don't know the price. So it could be, you know, stores are willing to do this because they think it's good for you. You'll come another time. You'll see what it is. You never know. Just get the customer in the store. You never know what he'll buy. But now I did that. Now I'm in the store, and I really mislead you. What's the case? He says, but you don't there, third white line, you shouldn't look at an item to purchase and you have no money to buy it. Right? Because you're just giving me a hard time. So, what is this? An example would be, right, you don't need to buy a car, okay? You don't have money to buy a car yet. Your car works right now, you don't. So, for whatever reason, you go somewhere, what's this about, what's that about, what's the price of that, and the guy's thinking, I got a sale coming. And you know you're never buying from him. You don't need a car, you don't have money to buy a car. So that would be an example where it's not just a comparison shopping, a window shopping, it's just a pain to person.
It happens in my business all the time. People, they know somebody in a certain business, and they get told, well, go to a store, see what the price is, and you know, I'll beat it by 20%. Mm-hmm. So if you're going to find out the price,
right,
you have no intention of buying.
Right.
See the product. Right.
The only thing is, so the question is, the merchants of the nature of the business that you are in, those merchants mock bid that they wouldn't even do that, wouldn't even talk to the person if they knew they weren't going to buy it. Or would some merchants say, listen, it's possible that people would purchase if they see enough. I can make a sale. So a lot would say that. But, you know, you go to department stores, they know half the people are not buying, but they want you in the store, because once you're there, they'll get the list. Right. Okay. But that's why I give an example where the fellow knows he's never going to buy. And again, in your case also, it may be an abuse of an ostvarim or certainly a tricking, or gnevistas. We'll just do a few more here. This is very important. The Torah says here, ki yireisa me'elokecha. Now the Gemara wants to know, why does it say the yireisa me'elokecha, you should fear Hashem, by an os devarim, but it doesn't say it by an os mamon. The Gemara says right now, Amrim Yechim, Mishim Hashem Ben Yochai, Galon, Os Dvarim Enos Mamon. Onos Dvarim is worse than Onos Mamon. Why? She says, Zeh Nemar Bovi Yerisim Yel Kecha, Vazeh Lo Nemar Bovi Yerisim Yel Kecha. Onos Dvarim is worse. Because by Onos Dvarim it says, Yerisim Yel Kecha should fear HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Why? Because this one is Matzah Lev Adam, and this one is not, the Gemara explains. Zeh Begub... I skipped a little bit. Zeh Beguvo Zeh Bemono. Because one is with your body and one is with your money, meaning I'm affecting you, your body and money. So let's slow down and explain two or three points. Number one, Yerasim Elokecha, only you know in your heart, this is also what he asked before, what's going on here. When it comes to business practice, so we can see, I'm selling something for this amount of money, so that's a nas mamon. But not Dvarim, so, you know, it's not something that we can really see or tell. It's very subjective. So by any mitzvah where it's something that's nitam and it's only leva adam in your heart, so Torah says, Yerisim Elokecha Shefir HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Why? Meaning, yeah, no one's going to know. No one's going to see. It's between you and him. I can't show you the canceled check. I can't show you the receipt. And you can't say, well, you hurt my feelings. You didn't. And we could argue about it. But you know what? Yerisim Elokecha HaKadosh Baruch Hu is watching. That's what the Torah says here, and it's even worse. Yerasim Elokecha. Those mitzvos which a person can trample on and say, I didn't do anything wrong, I just meant it as a joke. Yeah, Kosh Baruch Hu knows what you're thinking in your heart. He knows it was a joke, but you're trying to help the person, not helping the person.
Yerasim Elokecha is included in Islam?
No, no, no. That's the way the Torah describes the Yisr. It's not a separate part, it's the way the Torah describes it. The next idea here that's mentioned is Zenitim Leishavon Zelotim Leishavon. What does it mean? It means like this. No matter how much physical harm or property harm you do to a person, there's a price through which it can be fixed. Most cases. Most cases, you can go to the doctor and you'll get better, or a person can replace, can provide restitution for the property damage that's done. But if you hurt someone's feelings, so you can ask them for mechila, you can apologize, maybe the pain will go away, maybe it's not. But it's clearly in a tangible, in a concrete manner, it's not nitin leishavon. I can't pay you back. And even if I make you feel better now, I can't take away the bad feeling that was there. Meaning, you know, if I broke your window, and the window's fixed, it's fixed. You don't say, oh, for the hours the window was broken, I was, you know, in such a spot. No, fine. But if I embarrass you in public, or if I make you feel terrible, so, you know, maybe next week you say, okay, I forgive you, but that you can never get back. So it's no nitin leishavon. It's very, very important. Okay, we're not going to do the rest of the Gemara inside, but there's a very important Gemara on Nun Testament Aleph here, where the Gemara explains a little further in this sugya, and the Gemara tells us two further important points. We'll just mention them briefly. One is as follows. The Gemara says, on Nun Testament Aleph, in the Hemshech HaSugya, that Anas Dvarim is, again, so harsh, so severe. We know a famous idea. Sometimes, the Sharei Tfila, the gates of prayer can be closed. Many people hear this idea by Yom Kippur, by Ne'ilah. Because the Mishnah Berurah writes over there, he brings this down. What does he bring it down? He says over there that although it's late in the day and the fast is so hard, you should try to really work yourself up. And it says, why? You can give us a tzia prayer, and it's in the piyutim, Ne'ilah. It says, the flask of tears, the Kosh Baruch Hu holds. Why? Because the Gemara here says, that when it comes to the din of Anas Dvarim, at the share dimma, that the gates of tears are never closed. Because someone who's pained, who cries a tear because they are oppressed verbally, so Kosh Baruch Hu always listens to the prayers of those people. So that shows you again how chomer this is. And then finally the Gemara says something very important. It says a person has to be very careful with Onas Dvarim when it comes to Ishtar, when it comes to their wife. Because a person's always in contact, living together in one roof, you and your spouse, and it says, your wife is very easily pained. She is prone to tears. Therefore, a person has to be very, very careful when it comes to Anas Dvarim and Gavi Ishto. So I think that's something that we have to be careful about. Certainly, you know, even people, we should all work on Shalom Bayis. We should have good relationships. But, you know, the way that we speak, you can harm someone with words very much. And it's usually the person you're closest to. It's very interesting. Just think about it this way. Sometimes we treat people who are strangers much better than those that are close to us, right? An example would be as follows. Let's say you're home, And you're not speaking in such a sensitive manner to your spouse, to your children, whoever it may be. And you're really, you know, worked up about it. All of a sudden, there's a knock on the door. Now it happens. There's a knock on the door. Oh, hello, how are you? Come on in. Sit down. Let me help you. Now, the guy, you don't know who he is. Or you may be, it's an acquaintance, whatever, and you're speaking so nice and so polite. But someone who is the closest person to you in your life, you're willing to talk to and treat like a shmata. So that's what the Gemara is telling us right now. And you see this all the time. You can see people walking in the streets and they're speaking in a fashion that's not so nice. But someone who's a stranger, you'll speak to more politely because you know that they have to be and it will look odd. So you have to be careful with yourself. I want to just say from this Gemara, two or three chidushim that the Achrona mentioned here that really teach us about this. Number one, there's a din in all shas. Anytime there's a lav, so a lav, what's the punishment for a regular lav in the Torah? Malchus, right? That means if the Torah says, let's say by Shabbos or by Avodah Zarah, so there's a chiv misa if you violate one of those things. But a regular lav in the Torah, like shatnez or eating shreif, says Malchus. So you get 39, the basin comes, they evaluate, you're healthy, can you handle all 39? Not, you can only handle one or two, whatever it is. It is a lav shem b'maisa, so the Gemara Malchus says that you don't get Malchus. Lav shem b'maisa means a violation of the Torah where there's no particular act. So what's one of the lav shem b'maisa? If you speak, the Gemara says, it's a lav shem b'maisa. The speech cannot be quantified. So then it can be quantified, we can't give Malchus. Because in order to give Malchus, you have to have a hasra. There's a little bit of lumpus behind what's a lav shem b'maisa, why you can't give it. But just if we can't say a quantifiable act, there's no Malchus. So in us dvarim, that would be a classic lav shem b'maisa, because it is all speech. Listen to this. The Mordechai, in the Bava Metzia, Simen Shin Vav, and this is quoted by the Achronim, says that on Anos Dvarim, there would be Malchus. Why? So he says, one pshat is, well, he is, but it's not a pshat. He says, because the Gemara in Bava Metzia, Lilchesim Bey says, it's lo nitam yishavon, you can't pay back. So if you can't pay back, then it comes to Mammon, so I stole $100, I damaged your car, so you pay back. How are you going to get tshuva for this? And it's not the type of thing where even the mechila will help. So since you can't pay back, the only kapara you can get is through Malchus. That's one pshat. Others say it's impossible. It's against all the kapara's and pshat. You can't just make things up. So they say, what the Mordechai meant, or what the pshat is, that it's Malchus Mardus, which is Malchus Darabana. But nevertheless, you see that there's even an Malchus here. One more chirsh. The chinuch, an amazing thing here, this is something you also have to be careful of. So, Baruch Hashem, we're blessed to have children, and they certainly can try our patience. And we would think, okay, so it's my job to raise the kids, and some people have different theories of child rearing. And certainly a lot of them include, you know, telling them when they're doing something wrong. And you don't always say it in a way that it's, okay, here, honey, I'm sorry you did this. It might be harsh. Well, how harshly can one speak to their children? So the chinuch says like this. Vafilu b'ketanim roili zaher. Even if it comes to those who are not the gil mitzvos, one has to be careful. Shalo la'achiv medvarim yosem idai. Not to paint with words more than necessary. Zulot yimashis shetzichin harbi k'desh yichum musas. So certainly, with what is necessary to teach them the right path in life, you have to do so. And the Torah says, you know, you're a foolish person if when your child does something dangerous, you don't, you know, chastise them. But certainly, we have to think to ourselves, every time that I raise my voice to my child, or I lose patience with my child, is that because they really need this as a pedagogical lesson, as part of their, you know, chinuch of being upbringing? And it's an amazing thing. Because normally, a mitzvah, if you're, you know, not mechlik, but it's just yet, so it doesn't apply to you. Here, even by ketan, we have to be careful. It might be, but here we're not even looking at the chinuch, we're looking on you, on the gadol. On the gadol was saying, besides the fact that we pour chinuch to teach my children to yell and scream, that's right. But even on the gadol is an issur to speak that way to the children. Okay, and he says, a few of the bonav of nosav, they both of shalom, even the children in your house, you have to be careful about it. That's the one more chiddush when it comes to this. Okay. So, we did a fairly, you know, we did it somewhat quickly, but these are the basic yesodos of the issur of an oz dvarim. So, in the time we have left, I think it would be useful to try to explore for a moment how we can be matzliach in observing this mitzvah properly. And I think the way to do so is to try to look at the root cause of this. How do we fix, how do we improve ourselves that we shouldn't be over chas v'shalom, be nichshol, in the isur v'nos dvarim?
So let's think about it in the following ways. Why does somebody speak to another person in a fashion that hurts them and pains them? So for some people, it may just be it's amazes, right? That they have feelings of sinna, feelings of dislike, of hatred for other people. So, you know, there are different ways of carrying that out. There's passive ways, there's aggressive ways, there's passive-aggressive, and one of the ways is by harming them with words. So we're not going to speak about that because certainly that's inappropriate, it's us or it's wrong. And if you have such feelings, that's a different issue of the Araisa, and we can't do that. And that may cover a large percentage of the way that people speak to each other harshly, but that's not very difficult to understand what the root is. If you don't like somebody, you're going to speak to them harshly. Okay, that's not something that someone who's a Baal Mido, someone who's a Ben Torah should act in that fashion. That's very partial. Fine. Now we come to the category of shogeg, right? But we do it so we don't mean to do it. I like you, you're my friend, you're my relative, and I would like to improve the fashion in which we communicate. I would like to speak nicely to you, but nevertheless it's difficult. So what are the root causes behind this? So we'll start with this. Number one. Number one is a very simple idea of being impatient. Very often, it's not that I'm really even angry at you. It's not that a person wants to cause harm to other people. But if you think about it, very often, the times that we speak harshly to somebody is that we're just looking to ourselves and saying, whatever is coming to me, I need it right now. Especially the way our society is today, you get things in a second. So this is, I think, a machla that's even more in the 21st century, right? And it's amazing to think about how much we forget. We're all old enough here, most of us, to remember, so the days before cell phones. So you didn't have a cell phone, you left for the day, see if you're at work, so they could track you down at work. But if you weren't at work, you're just driving somewhere, and somebody needed you, they couldn't contact you, that was it. They had a problem, they had to go on and deal with it, and they just couldn't reach you. It's almost hard for us to remember back to that time in life. Right?
But that was in high school, that's
right?
What it was.
That's what it was, they, you know? They just couldn't reach you. Today, it's unbelievable. Today, if you can't reach somebody that minute, where are they? Why aren't they answering? Send them a text, call them, an email, or this or that. You have a BlackBerry. There are so many different ways you can contact somebody. If you don't have a response in a second, so you're already, you know, very, very upset with the person. So something, you know, having sablonos is a need that the Chazal have always spoken about. But especially in today's times, when we can order something, and it's there the next day, the next minute, you can order it this way, you go to a restaurant, it's quicker, the food is ready, everything is faster, 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 it doesn't mean the quality of life is better. No. So I think that that's one media that we're particularly have to be careful of today. Why am I angry? Because I didn't get what I wanted fast enough, soon enough, the right way, it wasn't perfect enough. That's the simple thing of working on savlanus. Trying to be, even though we live in an era that's e-savlanus, it's the opposite of that, not to fall victim to the time of society.
This is better on basically the idea that we want life to live up to our expectations.
Right, so you're saying, I'm on a certain plateau, I have a certain vision of how things should be, and if things are a little bit different than it is, so that I'm upset at you, I'm going to blame you, be angry at you, and talk to you. So if my wife serves me a certain dinner, and it didn't have enough salt, and it was a little bit burnt, so instead of just saying, you know, it was okay, you know, or something, it's a sensitive way to say it, so I say it in a way that's harsh. Why? Do I have a dislike for her? Am I really angry? I'm not really angry, it's just that I view everything should be coming to me perfect, right, and if it's a little bit off, then I'm very upset about it. I think that comes from savlanus, from having the ability to have things go in a bidiyavid fashion sometimes. And the older you get, you realize that if you view life as being in a more bidiyavid way, you know, expecting that, so you'll be a much happier person. Something I'm glad you mentioned, you know, if I were to ask you, Who are people, as much as we could be in this world, who are people who are happy? People who are happy. Who are the happiest people in this world? So, I don't know if it's always
there.
Yeah, not me. You get pretty
depressed. You
get pretty depressed. But the way I would frame it is, those who expect less coming to them. Right? If I go into any situation in life, and I'm going to be happy, depending on many different outcomes, even if it's a little bit different, that's a happier person. Those who can speak to others in a fashion, they're calm, they're patient, and there are terrible things happening around them. But the expectations are lower, and you can be patient, you can deal with difficulties and things in life that happen, not as you would have expected, those are people who are much happier. Two people can have the same exact fact pattern, but one who expected things to be the same, couldn't deal with crisis,
they're going to be much less happy. So that's a simple, pasha thing to work on sablonis. It's difficult in our era. The next thing is the midah of kas. So we can have an entire sheet of midah of kas. We'll just refer to the Rambam for 1 minute. The Rambam in Hilchos Beis, Perek Beis, says the following thing. In Perek Alf, the Rambam had set a standard that generally in life you should try to be in the middle. It's a good thing to be in the middle. You shouldn't go extremes. You shouldn't be a person that's so privatic and so lustful. You shouldn't be an ascetic either. He didn't think that was a good way to go in life. You should be a person who's in the middle. Take what's proper from the world. Don't be too privatic. Don't be too parish. Be right in the middle. Except for two means, says the Rambam. Gaiva and Kas. And he quotes many Mamar Chazal. You can find this in all the Sfarim. Or Chassadikim has a lot about this. Well, he writes, there are two character traits that a person can't act in a bandit fashion. You have to get rid of them completely out of your system, eradicate these types of character traits. One is Gaiva, Gaiva Salev. And the other one is Kas. And he describes in Kas, the Divine Shabbos says, someone who's called is Kilo over the Avodah Zarah. It's as if they're Chas HaShem over the Avodah Zarah. Now, what's the idea? Aruch HaSadikim says, very powerful language, he says, people who are kohes, and they maintain their kas, they don't even pay attention to what they're doing, and the osam harbe and yonim, mashalo osam below kas, they do so many things they would never consider doing if they weren't angry, if they weren't a kaisan. Because a kas is motzi sichlo shel adam mikirbo. It takes away all your intelligence. Mesillas Yesharim also speaks about this. At great length, he writes, Mesillas Yesharim says, that someone who is kohes, someone who is aroused to anger, he says, it's as if they have no das at all. It's like someone that are completely a tipesh, their das is taken out of them completely. So, kas is something, if a person is acting with true anger, they're acting in a way they would never want to behave. So, certainly, if you look at the root of anas dvarim, is because there are many different levels of kas, of anger within a person. So someone who's a real kaisan, they're going to say all kinds of things that are going to harm people. They don't really want to do it. But they're doing something, as the Aruch HaSadik and Mesiyah Sram described, I would never commit such an act, but when you're a kaisan, when you're angry, all logic is gone. And that's a pshat why Kiel over the Avodah Zarah. Why? Because at that minute, the seichel, which is the tzelem elokim, the part of you that drives you to behave in a fashion that's logical, is gone. You look at a person who's angry, it's like, it was something completely out of control. So that level of kas is what drives a person very often to another dvar. Now there are different levels of kas, right? The Mishnah says you have different levels. Someone who's easy to anger, very hard to calm down. Someone who's difficult to anger, but then they're easily calmed down. Those people have no kas at all. So how does a person work on, you know, going through anger? It's going to be sheer bat, which is briefly about it. The Mishnah recalls, the Gemara says that Hillel, he didn't have anger. He didn't get angry. He's a begedder. He was very difficult to anger, and he was very easy to appease. He never got angry. So if you think about it, I think here's a very useful definition of kas, which could help us in avoiding the issur of anas dvarim. Very often, the person feels that they've been wronged. So how do I react right now? When the Gemara tells us that a person shouldn't have kas, it doesn't mean it has to be someone who is what we call like a shlemiel taken advantage of. I can be extremely upset at you. I can feel bad about it, but I don't have to react with kas. Kas means that I'm angered, that I'm acting in a fashion that it's illogical, where I'm acting out, where I'm treating you in a fashion that's rage. Now, I can feel terrible, but I'm not the kas. I'm not angry. Doesn't mean that Hillel, people will go to him and say, do terrible things to him and say, this is terrific, it's great, I'm enjoying it. You can be extremely upset, but it doesn't mean you have to have kas. Onas dvarim, I think, mostly stems from kas. Because again, we're not talking about people doing amazing, you're not trying to hurt people's feelings. But if you act with kas, that's when you hurt people. So it doesn't mean you don't have to feel wrong. You can say, listen, what you did right now pains me very much. But if you act with kas, then you're going to hurt people and use harmful language. So I think that's a key. Doesn't mean not to get upset. That's inhuman. That's something that's a mob. We have feelings. I can have bad feelings. I don't have to become enraged. And finally, with this third very important idea of how to properly keep the mitzvah, and also is to appreciate the power of words. Like the first thing we start with tonight was that we're told, really harmful is if you damage one's property, damage their goods. but our words can never harm you. That's not true. Words are very harmful. Let's give a very simple mashal that we all know is true, but I'll give a nice mashal. Just how harmful words can be. So a person has a simcha, and the child's getting married. So they plan for weeks and weeks and weeks, spend thousands and thousands of dollars on chasana. The day of the chasana comes, they're as happy as could be, and the child's getting married, and this is it, one of the greatest days of their life. They walk down the aisle, they go to the chuppah, everything's terrific, the band's there, the food's there, beautiful. Right after the chuppah, a good friend comes up to them, for whatever reason, and says to them the following thing. You know, the thing that you wear, when you just walk down the aisle of the chuppah, you look ridiculous. You look like a fool. Like, well, you're wearing is totally the man's stuff. Did that fit you? Did you get it tried on properly? Because, you know, when, it really doesn't look right. You should maybe get that fixed. So here the fellow is. He just spent $25,000, whatever. I mean, no, you know, I shouldn't, you know, we'll know soon, right? But whatever, thousands, thousands, thousands of stocks, you know. He's feeling on top of the world. And he just says to himself, I just walked down to my child's house and in front of 300 people. I look like a fool. Is that what you're telling me? Now, if you take the person seriously enough, the point is, those words right there, you took somebody, weeks, months of planning, years of davening, all the dates, all the things, all the coming to that simcha, and now, because you said that, every picture you're going to look at, oh my God, he's right, that was the thing. Everyone's looking, everyone's thinking the whole time, how can I dance with the chasana? So, you know, maybe some men don't care, but you can imagine if you told that, that a woman's dress, then forget about it. Like that would really be, you know, that's it. The chasm would be over. So, we all know it's a very simple and simplistic mashal, but that's the idea, the power of words. So, if we appreciate how serious words are, then we maybe would think about speaking differently. So, tonight we covered a very important mitzvah, which unfortunately, I think is a mitzvah that is the one that is least kept properly by from Yidden, the mitzvah of Anas Dvarim. So, we learned from Yosef HaTzadik, and Yosef had opportunity to certainly say something to the brothers, but tzaddik means that he held back from an opportunity he had to do something to harm others. And for us, for ourselves, it's an issue of the araisa. It even applies to katanim. It even applies to something that you think some of the mafarshim say. It applies to our children, to our wives. And we learned three possible ways we could be masochistic in this mitzvah. Try to be a little more patient, to not have kach. You can be upset about something, doesn't have to be enraged about it, and to appreciate how powerful words are.
Good luck. Right. Everyone could go, try to go down to the back.